just a few fellas on a podcast, ripping in the pitching jokes and sharing some laughs. Rob Ryan, the drug, Jerry Bernstein. Ooh, they want to know if it's something, if it's anything.
Then it must be coming through there, and we're just, it, maybe Zoom is cutting out the taps or something.
I think that's probably it.
Try it's tapping like... it again. Can you tap it not like a little bitch this time? Can you like really?
Yeah.
Can you tap it?
Can you tap it like your bones aren't going to break on the microphone? Jared, are you a little horse?
A little bit. Oh my God, I got so many things.
Are
you
a tiny
today.
Horse?
I am a tiny horse, but just in the wiener area.
Ooh.
Thank you.
That's it. I think a tiny horse that just evens out to a regular human penis.
Yep. That's what I was trying to say. That's what getting at. Oh my God, fellas. It has already been a thing here on the tour already.
Oh yeah.
I can't already wait to hear. Things. Oh my goodness gracious. So I'm on the road. I'm in Eugene, Oregon. It's a shorter tour, shorter drives. Everything should be easier. But you know our good friend Steve Hofstetter. If he's not making his and everybody else's life harder, then he's not happy, right?
Hi, Steve. So, you watching?
I hope so. No, he's probably vomiting or something right now. He's in a bad way. He's in a very. I feel so bad for Steve. No. So we've had only two shows so far. And now we have 2 days off. And I was joking about like, man, I can't wait for these days off. I'm so tired already. And it's only been like two shows. But after last night, it's like, yeah, we need like a week off. So because it's a shorter tour with fewer days and shorter drives, Steve elected to not bring out a tour manager, which is like fine, obviously. But at the same time, like, I don't think that Steve realized how much the tour manager does and like how much of his own stress it alleviates. I understand the justification, but I'm like, you really should have brought a tour manager on still. Already, Steve is at like a higher stress level because, you know, like there's no Bander or Mark to handle all of the run-up stuff. Additionally, both the venues that we've been in have been a little too warm for doing a comedy show. So everyone's been like a little like, but the show in Portland was fucking phenomenal. First one out of the gate, hot crowd, packed to the gills. Steve accidentally did something that I thought was really insulting to Rivers, which Rivers, there was a girl in the audience who was like really flirting with Rivers hard during the Q&A. And afterwards, we were like, Rivers, what's going on with that girl that was like really kicking it to you in the Q&A, man? And she was cute too. And he goes, ah, you know, that's like a girl that I was seeing already. Like, you know, this was not just a girl that saw me on stage and decided that she needed my body so much that she was going to flirt with me so hard. And Steve goes, ah, that makes a lot more sense. And I'm like, that's kind of mean. I think, you know, you can allow for the possibility that Rivers did such a great job that a cute girl in the audience was like, I want a piece of Rivers. So now we drive to Eugene, which is, a short drive, easy peasy lemon squeezy. But Steve was battling a stomach virus before he left. He thought he was better. And so he's been like slowly trying to reincorporate like different kinds of food into his diet. He's like, I had a sandwich on the plane and I felt fine. And so if a plane sandwich doesn't hurt me, then nothing will. Right. I'm basically Superman. So we get to the venue last night, which was in a pizza restaurant. It's a pizza restaurant. And so I hear that and I'm like, it's the good old days. No tour manager, just two comics and Steve. Yeah. But it's a 250 seat theater in this pizza restaurant. So I was like, all right, you know, whatever. And Steve's like, they said they stopped service once the show starts. But the only thing is people can like pick up their pizzas, which they told me is going to be quiet. This is the new Steve Hofstetter tour. You know, everything is doing great. We walk into the place and they're like, oh, our air conditioning broke. And it's like 100 degrees here in Eugene. And so we're just like, and we can hear, by the way, like all of the business that's going on, like people, you know, ordering pizzas and the pizzas getting made and everything. And instantly we're like, this show is going to suck. This show is going to, it's hot and noisy. This is going to be an impossible show. And so all three of us are just like, all right, we're just getting through this, guys. We're just getting through.
You know what makes it better when the AC breaks down is pizza ovens.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That doesn't hurt things at all. The show starts and the audience is a fucking nightmare. They're just like rowdy and loud. And the people who are ordering drinks and pizzas are being like way too loud about it. And the staff is being way too loud about taking the orders. The discrepancy in people's brains of like, oh, there's a show going on. What? Pepperoni? What? and the audience was just like being like rowdy, like, woo! Like yelling things at Steve. And I can see Steve's like energy like going down. And me and Rivers just like, you know, it's hot. They're rowdy. Steve hates them. You know, it's no big deal. do. So Rivers goes on first, and he's still got some of the rowdy crowd, people that are ordering, you know, blah, blah, blah. I lucked out. I had the best spot of the night because it was, everybody was so hot that they had calmed down a little bit. Just like, it's too hot to be this obnoxious. We can't be annoying in this heat.
That's really funny. That's the only time like a crowd that's too warm, like physically is good, is if they are also rowdy. They cancel each other out for a moment in
when
time.
When Steve was on, they were like, woo, suck my ball. When Rivers is on, they're like, ah, fuck you. And when I got on, they're like, hey, hey. I'm just going to listen to these jokes for a little while.
And then when Steve got on again, they were just like,
dead. So Steve gets on, and Rivers and I are like, this is good. Steve is definitely going to cut his set short tonight because he is hot and they are miserable. So let's just go up there and start setting up all the merch and everything. And we're setting up, and we're like, something else is going on with Steve right now, because in addition, like, he's not just cranky and hot. Like, there's something else. Like, his delivery is like way slower than it normally is. And like, everything's got like a tinge of like, I hate this to what is he's how he's delivering. He's still doing really well, so credit to the writing. Of course, he gets off stage and we're just like, I hope Steve's okay, you know, like, he usually goes, just hangs out in the green room afterwards, and so, you know, Rivers and I are, you know, selling merch and everything, and as soon as we're done, we're like, all right, where's Steve? He got into the rental car right after the show, went back to the hotel, vomited everything that he had eaten that day.
No.
And then texted us and was like, my stomach virus is back or something, I feel terrible, just text me when you guys are done and I'll come back and pick you up. So he was dealing with hot, extremely hot room.
That is so Steve to be like, I'll come pick you up, instead of like, get an Uber, I'll cover it.
Well, you know, I'm not going to fault him. Like, he was miserable.
No. I just, he's totally always, even to his detriment. Own detriment, yeah. He's like, no. We have a car. Let's not be ridiculous. Just puked his brains out, did an hour show in a hot, rowdy crowd. I'll still come pick you up.
Oh my God. The poor guy. Because now we're like, now we're remembering his set and just being like, that's what he was feeling, you know, like, he was nauseous and hot and he hates this crowd. And just like,
I can't imagine doing an hour while I can't even like talk to somebody while I'm nauseated in a cool air conditioned room. I can't even imagine. Ugh.
So yeah, that was,
I would have done like 10 minutes and been like, now Q&A with just Jared and Andrew. Bye.
It's a special treat. It's something unique in stand-up comedy. I'm bringing up the openers and they're going to tell you my jokes. So that was it. It's like, it's only been 2 days, you know, and Steve is already just like bedridden, you know.
Well, I'm glad you guys have the 2 days off.
We have 2 days off, thankfully.
Where are you guys now? Still in Portland?
Yeah, we're still in Eugene. We did the show in Eugene last night, and we're in like this little area that's like strip mall, and there's like a movie theater. And so we're just sort of like hunkered down in the middle of nowhere for the next couple of days until we go to, I think, Bend or Boise tomorrow. I forget.
Eugene, by the way, as many times as I've been to it as a place, it still is just a guy's name to me, and it always will be. I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to Guy, going to Oregon. Some Guy, Oregon.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm Eugene. How's it going? Make yourselves comfy, guys.
I did a show last night in a Soul Jail venue, which I've done probably like 3 or 4 times, called Robin's Nest. And it is like, you feel like you're in somebody's living room. Like, the audience is on top of you. It's such a great show.
Love when
it's,
that.
You know, it's like, it's just fantastic. Similarly, they were being like way too loud about their drink orders. So this is the host, but that's like, you look like you're in a dining room, you know?
Yeah.
But they're all so close. And that table up front that you just saw, like right in front of the host, there were two people who had ordered food before the rest of the people at their table, and all the people at the table got food before them, and they had ordered like 45 minutes ago. So it's clear that their order had gotten lost. But that is happening as I'm being brought to stage, like a very loud conversation, like, I ordered coconut shrimp, he ordered a cheeseburger. And so I just start repeating whatever she's saying into the microphone. I go, she ordered coconut shrimp, he ordered a cheeseburger. They ordered before them. It's been 45 minutes. And then like a different server comes out and she starts to get, I'm like, she ordered a cheeseburger. And I'm not saying it to tell, I'm just repeating. And then eventually it's like resolved. And I'm like, I get it. I'm not making fun of you. I just, you need to get your food. It's been, you're hungry. I also need to perform. So those are opposing forces. So I can't, I could just couldn't start until you were done. And the crowd was great about it. They loved it.
Oh, nice. Nice. That was my, that was going to be my question. Cause it sounds, it's funny. It sounds funny.
It
was,
I mean, it can, those, I've been in those situations and it's backfired, but the crowd was incredible. And I tried my not liking fish joke. You'll see in that last episode, at some point I do take your feedback a little bit, Jared, but me taking the version of me taking your feedback is just run over with, oh, Brad hates the feedback. I said, okay, what if I make him like a wet chicken? And nobody was like, no, you were like, no, that's not enough. But I did add, you know what a non-fishy fish is? It's a chicken. It's a soggy, wet chicken. And they loved it.
Whoa. Soggy, wet chicken.
Yeah.
Hello there. Well, well, well. sounds like that was a really good note by Jarrett.
I mean,
Jarrett only
again, maybe I'll have to start another episode of I'm Not Crazy, You're Crazy. But me saying, would a wet chicken do it? Mm-hmm. And you, I'm pretty sure you just say no.
Nope.
But it definitely is not accepted.
I literally just am editing this episode right now. So I can tell you. I go,
what happened?
I go, yeah, I think that'll work. I think it needs something. It needs something that's not just chicken.
Too. Right. So if I go, would a wet chicken do it? And you go, no, it needs something. Then you're not accepting that.
Seconds later, I literally go, a wet chicken. And then you go, oh, would a wet chicken solve it? And
no, I
go,
I came up with wet chicken.
It's not on the video. It's not check on the video, tape. My man. I got Jared, the tape. I got the tape
I
right
definitely
here.
Came up with wet chicken on my own.
Look at his face.
This is the face of
I
a
want
man
the
who
raw
knows.
Tape. I want the raw video, by the way.
I want the raw footage. I want the metadata. I want it in zeros
and
ones.
You know what? I got the Twitch stream. I'm going to go check it.
You checking it right now?
All right, everybody,
share
your
screen.
But whoever's watching, chime in on the chat. Who is right? Jared, Brett, or Rob? I'm not sure if I'm in there. Tell me if...
What does Rob think?
All right, but here's
Rob.
Here's the undecided who we can attribute the tag to. I mean, ultimately me, because it's my joke. And it's,
well,
and
yeah, everything that gets said in your turn is yours. So yeah.
That's right. True. As we've established.
That is the rules.
So not all only right. did you come up with wet chicken, you were also the one that said, I think it needs something more. And then you were also the person that was like, no. Well, that ruined the joke.
I was every part of the podcast.
Exactly.
All right, here we go.
Going into that microphone.
I've never heard somebody who likes fish say in response to me saying I don't like fish, oh, okay. They're always like, what? You don't like fish? You don't like fish? I'm like, I didn't say I don't like Jews. I said I don't like fish.
Excellent.
Statements, okay? They're like, you just have to try non-fishy fish. And I try non-fishy fish. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? A non-fishy fish? Fishy, adjective, noun, fish, okay? There's such a thing as a non-fishy fish. You know what a non-fishy fish is? It's a chicken. It's a wet, soggy chicken.
There we go.
Wet, excellent.
Soggy chicken.
Excellent.
That's great.
I did not say wet, soggy chicken.
That's very true.
So I didn't say, you also didn't say wet chicken.
But I did say wet chicken. I'm so excited. Do you ever? I am editing this episode right now. I am the one who is closest to it. I am so confident about this. This
you so probably. Great. I'm like 80% sure. You're probably right.
Are you able to pull up the audio in any timely fashion?
In the history of things, no human has ever been more confident about being right than I am right now. There's never been any evidence.
I don't know. I've been pretty confident when I'm right. And I'm not.
No, what I meant to say is
I'm pretty confident.
At no point has there ever been a dispute with like a more clear cut case of here is the thing, here's the evidence, I have the evidence, and here we go.
I'm excited for you to be right or wrong.
Oh my God, if I'm wrong, after all that, everything I just did. All right, let's see here. Share screen,
share screen. I love it.
No, I want you to go off the Twitch stream because you've edited this.
This is the raw video.
This is the raw footage. Okay.
This is the raw video. Okay, there's our friend Bander right there.
Hey, Bander. Chair's like, sit on my face.
You'll never leave me, chair. I am moving around because I don't know exactly where it is.
Oh, okay. I thought you were moving. I thought you're like, yeah, this is the raw one. Total jump cut.
And there's like a star wipe and audio bumpers. Completely unedited footage.
A non-fishy fish is. It's chicken.
A non-fishy fish is. So a chicken isn't a fish, you know? So like there's the flaw in the premise there. It's funny, obviously, but there's a flaw in the premise.
But that's the joke.
I would love it if you did like one thing to this chicken that would make it more of a fish. Like you throw a chicken in the ocean or something like that.
Well, doesn't everything taste like chicken? So
yeah, Manders is the thing.
You could then bring it back, which tastes wet chicken in like a second. Fish or something like that. Or like, I don't know, something like that.
Wet chicken.
I didn't hear you say that.
When I said a wet chicken, would that do the trick?
That's so funny. I didn't hear you say it at all. I genuinely, you could tell by the way I say it. I'm like, I got it. How about a wet chicken? I 100% did not hear you say so that.
Weird. It is crazy because Brett does say it like he just came up with a whopper right there.
Yeah. I do not have the acting chops to pull that off.
Oh my God. How fun was this, guys?
That explains a lot too, because I'm like, why didn't that solve the problem for Jarrett? I said wet chicken, and that's a funny version, and I'm including his feedback, but you were just like, meh.
Well, Jarrett, I should have kept playing it so I could show you me going, yeah, you know, I think maybe I'm not as enthused, you know.
I wanted to see the aftermath of it.
All right, let's get it back up.
Because that was the first argument, the fact that after suggesting it and then hearing it, Jarrett still wasn't on board with it.
This entire episode is I'm not crazy, you're crazy. Entire episode.
We know.
We're not doing jokes. Just doing deep dives today, guys.
Janko Danky wrote in the chat, "Wet chicken gate."
Vander says his thing,
like fish or something like that, or like.
Watch my reaction. I genuinely. Like I'm just watch me.
Wet chicken.
If I said
a wet chicken, would that do the trick? I genuinely did not hear you.
Chicken, I mean, that satisfies me. I want there to be one that satisfies me.
Okay, but listen to the tone of your voice. Listen to the tone of your voice. That satisfies me.
That satisfies me. Can we get if a court stenographer wrote
that's
that,
true.
That,
you're
would
right.
Would you read that back, please? That satisfies me.
Would you read it back how he said it?
When I ask Kirsten, did you come? That's what she says and how she says it. And I am offended that you think that is not sufficient, Brett. That satisfies me.
I will renege on my argument and I will surrender in this.
You know what, Brett? No, let me give you this. Let me give you this. All right. Because I thought you heard me say wet chicken.
No,
and so
I definitely
when you said wet chicken back to me, I thought that you were telling me it was a terrible idea.
Right. Like, would you be happy with wet chicken?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd be happy with?
Wet chicken's good? See. You like wet chicken, Jarrett. And I was like,
that's so funny.
So I was like, I mean, that satisfies me because I'm now trying to like backpedal. Like, if everybody hates this idea, I don't want to go to bat for it, you know?
Exactly.
And I just heard the tone of your voice. It's like, yeah, I guess that satisfies me. But like, we're in a way, like, it doesn't really satisfy me. But like, I guess that's it, but you're not getting what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
Like, make it like an ocean related thing. I'm like, what? How does wet chicken not make it an ocean thing?
Welcome to episode wet chicken. Is this anything? Let's watch it again. Let me share a screen again.
I want to point out, I have a little self-satisfaction moment here of me just enjoying myself, not being helpful, mind you. But Brett is trying to explain his joke about the chicken thing. And he says, well, I had this other part here, and then I'm trying to sandwich the two. And I go, ooh, chicken sandwich.
Wait, did you say that on the episode? Is that?
Yeah, I just caught myself saying it completely to myself. I'm looking out the distance, I go, ooh, chicken sandwich.
I heard it.
So you heard that. You heard that, but you didn't hear
what? Let's go back and see it. Let's go back and see it.
Let's go to the tape, everybody. This is my favorite episode of all time.
It's so, funny confusing that you for our listeners because they're not going to know when we're playing the old episode.
Rob, it's so funny that you said that because when I was rewatched, because just now as we're watching this, and you said sandwich in my brain, I was like, ah, chicken sandwich. That would have been a funny thing. And Rob said chicken sandwich. And I still didn't hear it. Either of the 500 times that I've seen this clip now, I did not hear Rob go chicken sandwich. Funny.
I mean, I got to go rewatch all of our episodes because you may have given me some really good feedback that I just didn't hear.
I can't wait for what you guys. I just thought of the funniest thing for this bit. And then it's like something that me or Rob told you. And we're like, are you being a dick? What? Oh, my God. This is so funny.
That is such a funny, small miscommunication that just led to
this is so
nonsense.
Important. This is so important because think about like how easy it is to get mad at somebody or misinterpret something they're doing over text message or over email or something. We are sitting here with video footage and there are still things on rewatch that were, oh, I missed you saying that. I didn't understand. Oh, why did you say it like that? I thought you were saying it like that, like this.
Oh, Bander was there?
It is so important that we always give people the benefit of the doubt here. It is so important, just in general, just in life, because look at this. We are three very good friends with video evidence going over it over and over again. And we still don't know why people are saying what and who's where, man. I'm not high yet. I promise.
Like this. I like when like face like I like to see like a cop like looking at the footage being like, ah, yeah, I shot him. Yeah, I did, didn't I? No, he wasn't reaching for anything. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I could have sworn he was reaching. All right.
He's sitting there with the corpse. And he's like, yeah, you know, you did not reach for anything. That you is did not. You did not reach for anything.
That's so weird because I was telling him I thought he did. But you saw it in my face like I thought he was. You saw that.
And you see why I got mad because you shot me. I wasn't reaching for something.
Now I totally see why.
You see that my reaction was based off of that, you know? Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And if I got shot, I'd be pretty mad too.
And then the cop to the dead body is like, see, this is why it's so important that we give each other the benefit of the doubt, you know?
I was going to say, Jared, after that rant where you ended it with like, it's so important, man. I was like, man, the Oregon is really getting to you here.
Just in the air. Oh my God. Whew. Oh my. I need a break, guys. I just had too much fun. That was great.
Well, I think it's a perfect time, unless Rob has something, which he usually doesn't if I ask him.
The biggest thing going on in my life right now is I'm making homemade ice cream. We just made a little batter last night, put it in the fridge, and my roommate, as we speak, is whipping up the first batch.
Wow. Wagyu beef ice cream.
Straight from Japan.
I think it's time for everybody to guess the order. If they have a guess for the order, go ahead and put that in the chat.
That's great. Here's my thing, though, is I have a couple of other things. So this
you
is
forget
good
to get the order?
No. I have a couple other things, but this will be good. This will be like everybody can guess the order while I am discussing these various bits of business here. So one thing I wanted to add about the show last night is that it was so hot, and it wasn't easy for Rivers or I either. You know, like we were still up there baking and we were baking in the merch line. Also, I left there. I was like, I feel like I just worked out for an hour. Like that's how exhausting it was just like to be that sweaty and hot and everything. So it's only been a little while. We've only really gotten into this whole wet chicken thing. So I have this thing. It might take a minute, but I think we have time because it's just the three of us. Are you guys cool with like doing a quick little thing?
Well, I'm not agreeing to this till I know what this is. Sounds weird.
Okay. Well,
do you have to just have something else to tell us?
No, it's like a fun little interactive thing, but it's not like an interactive joke or anything. So I wanted to do it during the catch up instead.
All right, yeah, I'm down.
So Kirsten and I watched a movie. We watched the third Fantastic Beasts movie, and there was a line in there that really tickled me for a reason that I want to see if you guys can figure out. So this is the line. All right, this is like everybody who's gonna fight Grindelwald is all together in a train. They're like having a meeting, and one of Grindelwald is the bad guy. Yeah.
Who plays
him?
He
committed crimes.
He did commit. Wait, what would you say, Rob?
Did he committed crimes?
He did commit crimes. This is a bit.
Isn't it called Crimes of Grindelwald?
It's called the Crimes of Grindelwald. That's the part I was missing. That's the part I was missing.
He did commit crimes. How the fuck did you know?
I had, so at the same show, I had an exact moment.
Go to the tape. Rob, I was just in this episode. All right. I know that I'm right.
I asked a couple about the first date and he was like, we looked for green beer on St. Patrick's Day. I was like, oh, it's a great first date. And then we talked about a few more things. And then I was like, I started to do my joke about first dates. And then he was like, we didn't find it. And I was just like, what does that mean? I thought it was a joke that he was trying to get in. And then he was just like, we didn't find the green beer. And I was like, oh, okay. The wheels were turning in my head like, what is the joke? We didn't find it. They just never found the green beer.
This is the best episode, guys. Because I thought you were doing like a Grindel crime thing. I thought you were saying like Crime the Wald or something. And I was like, I don't know where this is going. Okay, so this is the line, all right? Everybody who's teaming up against the bad guy is in this one little room. And one guy sums it up. He goes, so this is the team that's going to take down the most dangerous wizard we've ever faced in over a century. A magizoologist, his indispensable assistant, a school teacher, a wizard descended from a very old French family, and a muggle baker. All right, that's a line.
Okay.
So what do you guys think the tone is? What do you think is weird about this line? I want to get some feedback from you guys. What are your first thoughts? First thoughts, best thoughts.
Right off the bat, I have no idea if that is a good team or a bad team.
Yes. Excellent.
Like, absolutely.
Excellent.
It's so far from my reality. I'm like, is a muggle baker a good addition? I mean,
even if I understood those references, if the mm-hmm. bit is we're a shitty team, mm-hmm, you cannot mm-hmm. have more than three. You're not allowed to do that. Now it sounds like we got a good gang together, no matter how shitty they are.
Yeah. You guys are so on point already. Okay. But let me clear it up a little bit. All right. A muggle is somebody who doesn't have any magic powers. And so to go after a really powerful wizard with somebody who doesn't do magic, that's like strike one. Okay. A magizoologist is just a guy whose his expertise is magical animals. Magical animals can be very useful, of course, but I can understand how you would be like, your whole thing is studying animals. Like, you're not going to be helpful. His assistant. So obviously assistants are not, you right. know, that powerful. A school teacher. Obviously.
Pepper Potts.
Okay. All right. Fair play. A school teacher. Three. Obviously not, you know, the most powerful wizard in the entire world. The school teacher, by the way, is Dumbledore, who was very powerful. So that's neither here nor there. But the one that stood out to me in Kirsten was a wizard descended from a very old French family. That's the one where we were like, is that good? Is that bad? Like, why is that a thing? You know?
Because the French always lose. Isn't that the
this took place before World War II, before the French, I think, I'm pretty sure this took place before the French were occupied. And so, yeah, so we were like, a wizard descended from a very old French family? Like, why is that bad? He's saying that these are all bad things, right? Everything here is we're not prepared. And this guy is from a very old French family. And that's does that make it worse or something? So this created a game with us where we had to come up with a list of a team. And it just had to be like the weirdest collection of things that were neither good nor bad, you know? So we'd be like, you're telling me we're going to take down this bank with a rapping chicken, someone who never uses crosswalks.
Descended from an old French family. Well, the wizard stuff probably is going to help. Robbery, no?
A guy who worked in a warehouse for 12 years.
Yep.
What does that have to do with?
So my here's my thing. I wanted to come up with
somebody
a team.
Wrote a wet wrapping chicken. Sorry.
A wet wrapping chicken. The interactive part of it, I wanted to come up with a team with you guys. All right. So I'll get us started because this is my game. And then you guys just, you know, we don't have to go in order or anything.
Just so you know, Jared, when you do the interactive jokes, you have them come up with the thing first, then you present the format.
I understand that's how you do it, Brett, but this
like it this way.
Yeah, we'll go one at a time, but we don't have to go in order. Just as soon as you have one, you say.
I thought I had to come up with a list. Okay. I can handle this. All right.
Okay. Wait, so you're telling me that the team that's going to take down the president of the United States is a Bengal tiger,
a pizza delivery guy with a limp,
Gary Busey,
this construction worker from Taiwan,
Einstein's chalkboard,
the Little Mermaid when she got her feet back,
a friend of mine from high school,
the corpse and Obama? Of Jerry Lewis,
and Barack Obama. Excellent. Mwah. And Rob, I love the smoking, by the way. Excellent.
What was your last one, Rob? I'm sorry, we went at the same time.
The corpse of Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. A lamp I got at Salvation Army. Excellent job, guys. Excellent.
Lenny now, Bruce, George Carlin, Bill Hicks.
I'm dead. I can't do this, guys. I'm dead.
You can't take part in this bank heist because I beg to differ. Oh, the corpse of Jared Berenstein.
Oh my god.
Okay, let's. We got some guesses here.
Let's get some of the guesses.
Chats. So Augustus Percival says BJR.
Nice.
Savvy Thing says BJR as well. Jensen on the Loose says BRJ. Ivy Rose says RJB. And then Gus says RNR. I don't know what. It doesn't say what that stands for, so
Okay, first of all, I like that Savvy was like, I agree with him. Like, you're playing Price is White, right? And someone's like, $85. You're like, I think it's $85 too. You have to get something different.
No, I'm pretty sure it's $85.
I think it's $85. You don't want to say $86 or $84. No, I think it is $85 on the money. You nailed it, man. You nailed it. I want to get in on this. I'm buying stock in you, buddy. But we do have a winner. I forget who it was, but our order today is Rob Jarrett Brett. So RJB is the winner. Whoever
Ivy
said
Rose
that.
679. Congratulations. You are Ivy Rose. Fourth winner, I believe.
Fourth winner. That's right.
All right. Thank you guys for guessing. Congratulations, Ivy Rose. And so it looks like we're going to take it away with Mr. Rob Ryan.
Rob Ryan.
I told you guys my race car driver joke the last time, didn't I? Or one of those?
I don't remember.
The subject sounds familiar, but I'd have to
get it again.
I said that when a race car driver gets cut off in traffic, they're probably like,
oh, yeah,
race.
Yeah.
It's fun. I also have, when they have those photos of cocaine seizures, the camera adds 10 pounds. So that's not fair.
I love it. That's great.
What have you said? Like, I don't think that they should show photos like that. And then your reason is because the camera adds 10 pounds.
Because it's a chicken, Brett. That's why I don't say that.
I was watching.
Said, what if you say it? What if you say it?
I was watching Narcos, and the show is about, like, what's his name? Pablo Escobar. And just like watching that show, I was like, man, the prop department, they were probably so pissed. Just like, what? You need another suitcase filled with cash and or cocaine? Okay.
They don't care. They say and or. Whatever. We'll figure it out.
They really don't. It just changes who they give the suitcase to. What is this? Cocaine? All right. You give it to him. What is this? Cash? Okay. You give it to him now.
Oh, that's funny.
I watched the first two seasons of Umbrella Academy, and then I was like, man, I didn't enjoy that. I was like, kept expecting it to, it was like highly rated, and I was like, this never got good, and I watched it all. And then when the season three came out, I was like, no way! Yeah, you're not getting me again.
Won't get fooled again. That's right.
Brett, I agree. I like your, you know, justification sense, because, you know, I'm just throwing the line out because I think it's silly and funny, but you're right. Mm-hmm. It can.
And also because I've seen, you know, like the Chris Farley one, and it's like, it's a disturbing image. So it's a good misdirect if you've seen one of those. If you've seen like a disturbing overdose image, to be like, you know, I don't think they should show those things. And it was a big thing also with Chris Farley, it was like leaked and people were like, this is wrong that you're showing this to people. And it was like all over the internet and stuff like that.
Well, this is an entirely different photo op thing that you're talking about.
Oh, that's what came to mind for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about when the cops seize cocaine and they have that like thing and they're like, look how much cocaine we have. And I'm like, well, yeah, but the camera adds 10 pounds. So that's you know, they didn't really seize much cocaine.
Thinking of a whole different thing.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're talking about like those
a cocaine
photos.
Seizure. Somebody has a seizure because they're overdosing on cocaine.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
And you look at Chris Farley's dead body and you're just like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, as soon as you said seizure, so brutal. 10 pounds, I was like, I just pictured that image because it's burned in my brain.
It's funny because pictures of people who have had cocaine seizures is a lot rarer than what Rob was talking about.
That's true.
But Brett's like, oh, yeah, that's just like a thing, right? They did it for Farley, so it was probably like thousands. I don't know. I'm not a cop.
Okay. Yeah.
It's perfect. It doesn't need anything.
Yeah, I love it. I would love for there to be more. I just can't think of any directions that you can like add on or put more stuff at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Well, what else do people do when they post a picture that's maybe not super representative, like they suck in or something like that? Oh, you know,
maybe one of the drug dealers is like, let me see that. Oh no, that's it looks so much more or something like that. You know, when someone's like, let me see that picture, I look terrible. They're like, it's not that much cocaine. Yeah. It's not that much cocaine.
Right. Well, like it could implicate them more, you know, where it's like, oh, that was like a small amount of coke, but they could get more potential prison time if it was a lot of coke. You're like, oh, you're on, that's not fair. You know, you know, they seize this
it's
many
a terrible
pounds of cocaine.
Picture.
Yeah, but the picture adds 10 pounds of cocaine. Everybody knows that. That's not fair. It's just extra bags for no reason.
The image of somebody with like their arms in handcuffs saying to the guy taking a picture of his cocaine, "Let me see that before you post it," or something, is very funny to me.
I don't know that that would instantly connect for me, but if you can illustrate that, that is very funny. That because I don't instantly connect a picture with like, "Let me see that." I wouldn't be like, "Oh, somebody's like checking to see if they look bad or something like that." Mm-hmm. But you can add like, "Oh, I'm pretty sure they use filters," or like, "That's a catfish," you know, like all the things that happen where people Photoshop themselves and present it. Those are all things you can kind of play with.
Yeah, there was definitely a filter. You can see a Pokemon in the background.
Yeah, you did make me think of something else. Like, you know, everybody on Instagram is always like putting out the best version of themselves. And it's funny for me to think of like the police doing the same thing with their seizures. Like they have this table full of drugs and cash. I mean, it is for show. That's the whole point of it.
Well, you know what would be funny to your original joke is if it is the drug dealer in court and somebody's having him confirm, "Is this your cocaine?" And that he's like, "Well, yeah, but the camera edge 10 pounds."
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Yeah, it's such a good line.
His intention is so much more clear. Like, I want lesser sentence.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want the prison time to be as much. Yeah, because that's the same intention behind like somebody feeling like they look bad in a photo too. Like, it's not fair. The camera is 10 pounds.
And he tagged me in it, Your Honor, which I did not give him permission to do that because he didn't even let me look after he took the picture.
I had another line that...
Sorry, now I'm just thinking about the picture is like the cocaine and the guy in handcuffs going like...
But no, the guy in handcuffs is like... And you're like, "Oh man, Your Honor, my eyes are closed. Why would you pick that one?
I do like this, like ignoring what the point of the thing is and then doing something like, "By the way, my ex bought that side table." That wasn't me. I just want to put that out there, Your Honor.
There's a copy
I know it doesn't match.
There's a copy of Infinite Jest on the coffee table. It's like, I would never read that. Okay. Like, I'm not that kind of guy. All right.
The game.
I do that. All right with the ladies, okay? I do not need that.
I had another line here. I say, I've got, "With how easy it is to break dog tags in movies and TV shows, I'm surprised they stay on during the war."
just a bunch of soldiers like constantly breaking formation to pick up their dog tags while they're going places.
And they have to like try to put the metal pieces together again. Like,
it's just like, how many times am I going to see them just be like, "Who's this?" Kink. And they're just like one little tug and it just pops right off. I'm like, that's a chain. Like, I just want to see one scene where someone's like, "No, stop doing that."
Also, I'm alive. So
that's how they think you're supposed to read someone's dog tags. "What's your name?" Clark. "Ow." Private Smith. And he gives it back and is like, "Thanks, I gotta fucking put this thing back together."
That's why our military budget is so huge, is because they just have to keep getting new chains.
Dude with a bag of chains. It's like, "This is our ammo runner. That's the guy that fixes our dog tags after we look at them." I also like the idea of they can't get it, and so the corpse is just going like...
That's you know what is actually funny, if that does happen, it's like you can't get it off, and then the guy's like, and he's like, "Oh, okay, great." nothing, I was doing anything.
No, no, no,
back
no.
To base.
You were pulling my dog tag off.
You are gonna pull through. Whoa. I thought I was gonna be nice.
"Were you trying to send that to my wife?" No. I was trying to revive you.
"Why'd you take the letter then?" "Oh, this? I just really liked your stationery. I wanted to check it out." We'll put that back.
Yeah, get that back right in that breast pocket of yours. Good. All right. I'm glad you like both those little thoughts.
Yeah. Very, very
good stuff. That's how they actually, when they're exploring a new area, that's how they find their way back, is the dog tags.
I do want to see two people in the army in the middle of a war, like trying to work the clasp for his friend, you know, just be like, "Can you get it? Can you get it? I can't see.
It's just tiny little glass."
Why do they make these so small? Anything else? Are we moving on?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel good.
Right. Well, next up we got Jared Bernstein. This is a longer bit. I don't know if this is funny. It feels a little on the nose to me. You guys tell me what you think. There's so many things that are wrong with it already. Anyways, Republicans love to blame video games for things, but I think that video games could actually help Republicans be more empathetic. Like, imagine playing a video game where, like, you need to find a wizard. You're like asking everyone in this town, like, where's the wizard? And everyone's pointing you the way. Everyone's helping you out. And then you find the wizard and you get 1,000 points. Then you have to do the same thing as a woman. And every time you ask someone where the wizard is, they just try to fuck you. So now you're looking for the wizard and you're also trying not to get fucked or raped. Like, you can't leave your mead anywhere unattended or you could get roofied. Then you eventually find the wizard. You only get 700 points, even though the man got 1,000 points. Then the wizard also tries to fuck you. Then you have to do it again as a person of color. You go up to someone, you say, where's the wizard? And they're like, help, guards, I feel threatened to help. And you either get killed by the guards or you spend the rest of your life in a dungeon. Like, think how frustrating that would be for a Republican playing the game. Like, I don't understand why I keep getting arrested. I'm not doing anything wrong. And you're like, oh my God, you were so close to getting it. Oh my God, just keep going. All right. What do you guys think? Mm-hmm. It feels so on the nose to me. Like, I feel like if I was listening to the setup, I would know exactly where it was going.
Yeah, I think if I don't really feel like if you could bring it into a more common game, I think that would make it a little bit more fun for me. This seems like a game you'd play on like Windows 95.
So if it was like Super Mario or Zelda or something.
Right.
I think of the most instantly recognizable video games.
I agree with Brett. That's a great note. I think that I would be more tickled by all of the specifics, even if I knew where the stuff was kind of heading. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Grand Theft Auto, that might be a good one.
Like, you instantly get 5 stars if you're a minority, like no matter what the infraction.
Yeah, you haven't even started the game yet. You haven't even put your name in. Yeah, I don't know if that, it definitely wouldn't work for the woman because like there's no women in that game except for like prostitutes and.
Well, yeah, but that's the you're saying, yeah, you put in a woman, like you can't do any of the missions because the people just keep hitting on you. They won't give you the mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this? I can move on to something else if.
I liked it a lot. I like the. I mean, I know I'm breaking the format, but I did like that you finally get to the wizard and he tries to fuck you. That was my favorite part.
That was very funny. Oh, so I had this thought, but I couldn't like place it. Of like, if you play as the woman, your role. This is more of like a movie TV trope thing. It's like your role in the video game ends early. Like you die early on, but then the video game just continues with like a different, like with like a male main character, and you're just like, what was that? You like die right in the beginning and you're just like, what? What? And now we follow this guy because that's what the story was actually about.
Yeah.
But that's not neither here nor there, really. Not to do with the stuff that you're talking about. As far as the stuff that you're talking about, it's like, it's hard to critique it because I'm like, yeah, like that's mostly right.
It's yeah, like that's my problem with it. Like, it doesn't feel clever at all. It just feels like I'm taking the thing that exists and being like, and then that happens. I think it needs like at least a veneer. This is just, it's too 1-to-1. It's too A to B, I think. Let me give you guys this other one then. So crows and ravens are extremely smart, so much so that they actually could recognize people and remember them. So like if you're like mean to them, they hold grudges. And if you're nice to them, they will like you, and they'll even teach their kids to like you as well.
Huh.
I just wish I didn't know that. It's like one more thing I have to worry about if it likes me or not. It's like, how do you make a crow like you? You know, I'm not insecure enough. Every time I see a black bird, I'm like, I'll do whatever you want. Promise I'm cool. I swear I'm cool. All right. I like you guys. You guys are great. Just like me, please.
Oh, I love this. Mm-hmm. Now I have to worry about human beings and crows and birds. I haven't got human beings down there. I love it. That's so funny.
I like the idea of Kirsten just be like, honey, just go out. You're like, I can't. The crow's going to be there.
And you don't have any walnuts.
It's the crow that doesn't like me.
I see a crow on the street and I'm like, hey, pretty hot weather. They just flies away. And I'm like, you fucking idiot. Oh, it's so stupid.
I was just saying that. You're so dumb.
Oh man, why you got all this bird seed? Don't worry about it. It's not important. It's not for you. All right. Just have to have it with me all the time, just in case. What if I did do that and the crows were still just like, he's, I mean, he gives us food, but it's just he's so needy. I know. You know what I mean?
Trying so hard. What a
simp. There comes Jared. Fucking simp.
All right. Yeah, that's more meaty. More fun there.
Yeah, what are other things that you do to try and make somebody like you?
I guess like relating to them, you know? So if like I see them like eating some roadkill or something, I'd be like, ah, dead squirrel, huh? Nice. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to get going.
What's like a crow thing that I could say I'm doing? Like something that people would, like a crow would think is cool. So I'm like, all right, I gotta get going.
I go to a bait and tackle shop later. You got a lot of worms there, you know. Okay, man, I don't care.
I'm going by the waterfront and digging for small insects in the sand.
I go poop on a statue.
We know he doesn't do that. Who is he trying to impress?
Honestly, I like the guy who kicked us better, because at least he's being sincere, you know? Like, at least it's just he's being himself.
Everything about this is so fun and funny. I love the idea of you reading into things that birds do, and you just can't tell. You're just reading into their behaviors. You have no idea.
What could I say to Kirsten when I get home that she's like, I think you're thinking too much, and like, I don't think that they're thinking about you that much. And I'm like, no, he put up his wing and it was like, go away. It was like a go away movement, you know?
No, that's just what they do when they get wet. They do a shutter thing.
He's probably, like, just like about
was
to
he
fly
in a bird
away.
Bath? Well, yeah, he was in a bird. Yeah, yeah, it's all right. He was in a bird. So, you know.
I asked him if he wanted to hang out and he just went like this. Probably just shaking off some water. No, I think he was saying he didn't want to hang out with me. Should I have like a party? Should I have like a party or something? Should I throw like a party?
Don't have to do that. I'm gonna make a feeder.
Is there like a really popular song by the Black Crows that I could have playing at my party? You know,
funny. You're just like reading Edgar Allan Poe. You're like. No,
I have you reading a copy of How to Make Friends and Influence Birds.
Have you met that guy, Jared? He is so needy. You know what? I bet he never uses the word nevermore except around us. You know?
You say the N-word? I think you should do that. That's our word.
That's funny because that's literally what the poem is about. Is the crow just keep saying nevermore, nevermore. Yeah, we got some really good. We discovered some really juicy bits on here, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's great. Great premises.
All right, unless there's anything else, time to move on to our closer. But first,
I feel like there is more. But
oh yeah,
You were asking us about some of our favorite episodes. I'm reminded of, I believe, our first Liz Mealy episode where I shared like when I'm frustrated, when I get off, I'll do a joke that's like done and I get off stage and comics like that. I love that premise. Excellent premise. I'm like, it's done. That's like that's a fully formed like.
Yeah. Men and women are different. Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. I thought you were doing a different bit. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no,
I thought
no.
You meant done. Like it's like an overused premise. Not like.
Oh, no, no, no.
This is the episode of miscommunication.
Yeah. I said miscommunication. Brett didn't.
We got white chicken. We got cocaine seizures. We got this bit is done.
Oh, okay. Well, next up we got Brett Truck. But before we get to that, just want to remind everybody to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITA pod. All the best miscommunications happen on the Patreon episode. So check out our special Patreon exclusive episodes. That's not what you said. I heard something different. I can't believe you would say that. Oh, that's not what you said. Oh, that's my bad. And of course the high writing challenge, patreon.com/ITA pod. Join for as little as $1 a month. And next up we got our closer, Boo Retro.
Give a hand for all the comics you've seen so far.
Yeah.
I've only been to a strip club twice. Once was for my brother's bachelor party, and it is a weird tradition. I'm going on a bachelor party now. We're not going to a strip club, and I'm just thinking about how weird it is to actually go to a strip club, especially with your brother, like buying him a lap dance and being like, hey, here's $20. Give my brother a boner. That's like a weird tradition. Like, hey bro, that boner's for me. Okay. You think of that boner, you think of me. I got you, brother.
You know, it's funny because people do remember that for a long time. They're like, I remember a man who's like, that guy got me a boner last year. He was like, I was feeling low. He's like, come on out, man. We're getting you a boner. And then he got me a boner.
I think I love this. I would love it if you threw in some family stuff as well, like more specifically for your brother. Just like, oh, he's going to love your boobs just like mom's. Hey, and then he's like getting the lap dance and you're like, remember? Remember? Remember?
That's really funny. Yeah, it's a weird phenomenon for sure. I mean, even for your friend, you know, to be like,
yeah,
hey, give my friend a bone. It's almost like if we could just give each other boners, we would just do that. But we have to now hire a third party because of our sexuality.
Yeah. I want to rub your wiener and make it hard. But because that's not acceptable for me to do, I got to use a third party.
No, it's more that it's I want you to have a hard wiener and have somebody rub their butt against it. But I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
There's something very
like, I want it to happen to you.
Loving or sweet about it. Like, I love you so much. I just want to give you a boner. Like, I can't, I'm not going to be able to do that. You probably don't want that, but like, I want it for you so bad.
I don't want to do it. You don't want me to do it to you, but we both want it for you.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I know how great it is to have a hard wiener. Like, I know from experience, and I want you to feel that, man, because I love you.
You could also go down the route of like, guys don't know how to express their love. So instead of just like saying, I love you, like, we'll go to great lengths to not just that. Like say, I love you, man. Like, you've been there for me your whole life. More like, give him a boner, please. Here's $50. Could you please give my brother a boner? Because I can't hug him.
Because I can't hug him is a great line. I love that.
I'm just afraid he'll get a boner.
Excellent. What if this is a little bit of a different direction, but what if that's not the only thing that we used strippers for? Like, what if we literally told the stripper like what to say to our brother that we can't? You know?
They get a private
like,
room.
Yeah, she put her boobs in her face, and it's like Aaron said that after dad left and you really stepped up, it really means a lot to him. You know, he really thinks about you like a father. He's never going to forget all the nights you stayed up with him studying.
Oh, you really got through that tough time. Thanks. He hands her a 50. Well, you tell him
that I am so proud
of the man that he's turned into.
He's getting boobs rubbed on his face. The man that he has turned into. I see the best parts of me in him.
Oh, gosh. Yes. If it is a male communication joke, that's great.
What is it like from the stripper's perspective? I wonder if that's something that they talk about, or they have like a, you know, they see two guys who look similar and they're like, okay, well, those guys are, so I'm gonna buy that. I don't know what the funny angle is yet. I'm just sort of like,
it's funny to be like, just I mean, if they're just like, oh my god, that is so sweet, you know, like, I'm gonna do extra titty shakes or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm gonna blow your brother. I think extra titty shake is funnier, actually.
I'm gonna do extra titty shake.
Usually I do five of these. I'm gonna give him seven.
It's similar to like comics who are like, you know, they feel like I'm doing a good thing because people come up to me afterwards and they'll be like, you know, I was having a tough time. This really helped me. Mm-hmm. Maybe strippers feel the same way. They're just like, you know, I'm really helping people here.
I am helping men tell each other that they love each other in a way.
It's sort of the restaurant. The person goes to the bathroom like, oh, it's his birthday. Can we get like a cake? Like, oh yeah, we can do that. That's for the stripper. It's like, oh, it's his. Can
we get your cake
in his face?
It's also kind of funny to think about the wife, right? Because we're talking about a bachelor party specifically, because that's the only time that I can think of where like two brothers would go to a strip club together. Usually it's first for a bachelor party. And so we are using a third party woman to communicate these feelings through rubbing her boobs on his face. And meanwhile, he is in love with a woman who the brother also knows. And sorry, I'm just kind of like thinking out loud right now. Like what role does that have then in either, you know, like, why don't you tell the wife what you're feeling or something? Or I don't know. It's weird to then go to the wife and be like, here's $20. Why don't you rub your boobs in your husband's face a couple times for me?
I was going to say that I know a couple people who have been strippers. And yeah, they run the gamut of like customers that they enjoy, nights that they don't enjoy, the good, the bad, all that stuff in between. So anything that you can think of that feels like that is definitely true.
Right.
Or definitely exists to some degree.
Well, I mean, there's definitely situations where it's like, oh, this guy lost his wife and he's too old to like get out there and be single. So he just, you know, you get to revive. I'm sure there is definitely like goodwills, but there's a good feeling of like, I'm bringing people happiness that they otherwise couldn't get. But I think it's funnier to be like, I helped these two brothers communicate love. And that's a good deed.
Right. That was actually going to be like my thought, which is like anything that seems silly and absurd, which I like. Anything, and it feels easy to kind of go down this route of like, you know, imagine strippers feel emotions, like anything that starts to veer in that direction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would just like be mindful of like, well, yeah sure. that's just a silly like thing, like of course, but mm-hmm. because you're this particular example is so zany that works for me.
So what if the moment that the stripper helps the two brothers realize between the two of them is so meaningful that stripper becomes like a permanent part of their lives, either just like this is now a family friend because of how instrumental she was in helping communicate with my brother, or one of those guys just like, I need you to help me communicate to other people. And so when, you know, instead of like going up to the Starbucks coffee person and ordering a Starbucks, he's like, he gives the stripper like $20 and is like, can you go order me a latte or something? I thought this idea had a lot more meat on the bone. I really thought you guys were going to be like, oh yeah, no, I like this.
But all I could think of was paying a stripper to give a crow a lap dance. That's all I was going through my head while you were talking. Once you said it.
Could you go over there for the bird? The bird's like, bro, I anatomically, I'm not even attracted to that.
If I see two crows and I go up to one of the crows and I'm like, do you like that crow? Do you want me to go talk to her for you? No, dude, I can pick up my own crows. Jesus. All right, I'm just saying, like, hey, my friend thinks you're cute. Stop it. I am not your friend.
Just stop it. Jared's like, they're like, that's not, we actually don't think that's cool. No, cool. We don't think that's cool. Crow's feet. We know.
Mm. We know. Rob, I was laughing even though I didn't know what you're talking about, but crow's feet is great. I was like, I'm not going to be the only idiot who doesn't get Rob's joke. I think Brett's laughing. Brett knows.
I love this. I love this stripper bit. This is great.
Well, thanks, guys. Good stuff.
Yeah,
good times. All right, should we go through some of these comments? See if we got any.
Yeah, first I want to thank we've had a few subscribers. I don't think I got to thank Johnny last time, who subscribed for another month. He's up to like 7-8 months now. We also got Brett, you shot me. Jarrett, no I didn't. Rob, chicken sandwich. Django Danky.
Are there other difficult relationships between men besides brothers where strippers could use for communication? Ooh, what about Israel-Palestine?
I know that there have been a lot of attempts to create middle peace in the Middle East, but has anybody sent strippers to the Gaza Strip?
Anybody sent strippers?
It's a Gaza Strip.
Gaza Stripper. Gaza Stripper. All right. Well, this episode started real hot, and then we got tired.
Oh, I feel great.
Oh, well, I'm tired. I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah, that was projection.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little tired and hot.
Thanks for joining in, everybody. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rob and Jarrett, for joining. And great episode. Thanks for watching and chatting along. You guys rock. And we will see you soon. And then I think something goes here. What is it, Jarrett?
Outro goes here.
Thanks so much for watching. Check back every Monday for new episodes, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to help support the show, tell your friends how much you like Is This Anything? Or get involved. Like an episode, share, comment, subscribe. If you want more Is This Anything, you got to join our Patreon at patreon.com/ITAPod. We have a ton of awesome exclusive content on there, and you can join for as little as $1 a month. Check out the links in the description, and hopefully we'll see you next week.